الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله، we are here at the center, Markaz, Madrasa, Darul Uloom, and that is Dar, is for a house, Uloom of knowledge. We have come to the house of knowledge and the place of knowledge, where knowledge is being learned, knowledge is being taught, and the true knowledge, the knowledge of the reality of life. One great alim says that this type of knowledge was first prevalent in all Muslim communities in the world. It started in Madinatul Munawwara, which was the center of learning, and then it went away to Basra, Baghdad, to various other places. Then when Muslims became Muslims, large numbers in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all that was one big area, Ceylon, then alhamdulillah, knowledge went there also. And even there, knowledge that was being taught officially or properly was just the knowledge of Deen. And what is the knowledge of Deen? The knowledge about our Creator, who created us. Like, for example, if a child doesn't have knowledge who my parents are, that child, who is going to look after the child? Who is the child going to be loyal to? Who is he going to affiliate? Who is he going to have contact if he doesn't know who his parents are? So Deeni knowledge teaches us not only who our parents are, that is also very great. How lot fazilat has come in the hadith, in the Quran Sharif, and the importance of respect of one's parents. But not, they are only the means of us coming in this world. Our parents did not create us. The creator is only one, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If the parents were the creators, every mother will wish her child to be the most beautiful child in the world. Must have the most beautiful hair. But we don't find that happening everywhere. So if mother is not the creator, if the father was the creator, he would make his child with the best brains in the world. So the child can be the richest man in the world. We would have looked at our own advantages and our own things that will benefit us. But Allah is the creator. And Allah explains in various ayat of the Quran Sharif, He creates different people differently. And that is all according to the ilm and hikmat, wisdom of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah uses His great qudrat according to His ilm. And according the knowledge of Allah and the great wisdom of Allah, that somebody Allah makes rich, somebody Allah makes poor, somebody Allah makes healthy, somebody Allah makes sick. All this is for the system of the world to carry on. If all people were healthy, all the hospitals, doctors, what should happen? If all people were rich, nobody should work for another person. Who should do all the labor? Because all are rich people, they don't want to work. Like many countries which are rich countries, and the citizens of that country don't want to work. They have to get labor from outside that country. And then eventually they have a lot of problems with that, because that labor now starts controlling the country. And they can't do without them. So Allah Ta'ala in His system, and if all were poor, then who should they work for? How should they get money? So Allah Ta'ala made this whole fantastic system of His, how He has created. So anyway, Allah is the creator. So this great alim, Bismillah, he says that this knowledge which is our Deeni knowledge, our Islamic knowledge, is to teach us in the first place, Alif Se Allah, that you come to know who Allah is. Who is your creator? Who is your Rabb? Who is the one who has created you? When the British, they started ruling India, unfortunately, they changed the whole educational system. And now it's in the whole world that you start A for apple. You start learning what is an apple. That becomes important for you. B for bat. C for cat. D for dog. Now you're learning about cats and dogs, about all this dunya's things. And what is all that? Just see, we might laugh, we might take it as a joke, but it's an extremely serious thing that we today as Muslims, that we who are even ulama, but we haven't realized the value of our knowledge. And we, many ulama, they also prefer Western education. Make the children into doctors, lawyers. Just now, there was a meeting in Dioban, and one alim said in that meeting that the people, they want all Western secular education in Darul Ulooms also. That you must become an engineer, must become a doctor, you must become whatever else here in the Darul Ulooms. And he says that at one time, for a while, when there was this pressure put on Darul Ulum Dioban, they did start. But they saw that the object of knowledge was completely lost. And at what is the object of knowledge? It was lost, so they took it out again. So anyway, he says that the most, if you become an engineer, you will make a road, people will use the road, what more than that? Or you'll do something else, you'll plan some toilets and sewage systems, etc. That is what you will do. Those are necessities of life. But is that the object of life? Object of life. To go to toilet is a necessity of life. But it's not the object of life. It's just a necessity. Which Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib, Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, should explain very well. He says, when we forget what is the object of life, then when we wake up in the morning, we are hungry. So we have to now fulfill our stomachs. Normally we have food in the house, we have breakfast, etc. But now we have to go and work so that we can buy our groceries again. End of the month, middle of the month, beginning of, whenever we want to, whenever we buy, we buy our groceries on a monthly, weekly, daily basis, whatever it might be. But we are working in order to have a house, in order to have food. And now when a person in the whole day, din ko kamana, you earn during the day. Then raat ko khana. Normally, before, not very long ago, when we were little children, almost every family had 3 meals a day, the whole family together. Mother, father, children, breakfast also all had together, lunch also all had together, supper also all had together. And in there was a great wisdom. The parents could check on their children all the time. Now children, everyone, breakfast they're making on their own time. Somebody is making his own breakfast. Somebody is going just to have a cup of coffee or something. Lunch, everyone, who is at home lunchtime today? In the whole world practically, hardly anyone is at home. Only the woman, today not even the woman folk. They also gone out to work. So it's only at night that the people sit together, and that also is going out now. That one meal at least that we were having together as a family, the night meal, today unfortunately that also is going out. But anyway, it was that time when the family should at least have supper together. So Maulana says, din ko kamana, during the day we earn. Raat ko khana, at night we have our meal, we have a nice good meal. Or subah ko pakhana. And then the first thing we get up in the morning, go to toilet. That is almost all of us, at anywhere where there are public gatherings, the ijtimas, everywhere, the main problem for toilets is in the morning. There is a big queue, all the people who got up, they all want to go toilet. So this is our system. So he says, that is what our life is all about, to earn during the day, eat at night, and go to toilet in the morning. So insan kya hua, what is the insan then? Ek pakhana banane ka machine. All his job is to make stool, urine and stool. And on Qiyamah day, you won't go and give the report to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is not going to ask you, my banda, I send you 60 years in the world. How much stool did you make? How much urine did you make? Or you're not going to go and tell Allah, ya Allah, you send me 60 years, 70 years, I made so much of stool. I made so much of... No, that is not the object of life. Our object of life is to prepare for Akhirat. And before that is to know Allah Ta'ala. Who is our Creator? Today, unfortunately, we don't learn who our elders are. Respect for the elders has come so much in the hadith. Respect for our asatiza has come so much in the hadith. But we don't respect our asatiza today. We don't respect our parents. And then how are we going to respect and know Allah Ta'ala? So this knowledge is to teach us who Allah Ta'ala. He is our creator. And not only the creator. Allah Ta'ala is that being that after creating us, and how did He create us also? From just one drop of sperm. And from there Allah, in that, Allahu Akbar. In that one drop of sperm, Allah Ta'ala put the material that is going to make the brains also. The brains are not made outside and then brought in the womb of the mother. It is from that one drop of sperm. In there is the material to make the heart also. In this is very soft material, the brains, the heart material, but completely world apart. The brain material of the brain and the material of the heart. Then Allah made in that drop of sperm, today we are fascinated with one chap, that how much of information and how much of memory that one chap can have. But Allah in that one drop of part of a drop of a sperm, Allah has put the material of the skull, the hard solid bone, to protect the skull. And how Allah placed it on its place. The brains are inside and Allah put the skull to protect. We were, when you ride a motorbike or something, by law you have to wear that skull to protect your head. So, but Allah put the skull, the heart, solid bone, to protect the brains. To protect the heart and all the other vital organs in the chest. On top, whether it is the liver, the kidneys, the stomach also, pancreas, what things Allah has put, and then He made the rib cage to protect it all. All that material is in that one drop of sperm. The hair on the skin itself, the nails themselves, all that material is there. The hair that grows on the beard or on the head, Allahu Akbar. What a great creator is not Allah Ta'ala. The whole nervous system, the whole digestive system, the whole respiratory system, and all, how many things? Insan is alam-e-azghar, is a small world of his own. That everything of the world Allah has put into insan. And insan is the greatest means in order to recognize Allah, in order to know Allah, is you yourself. Quran Sharif says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself? You will see Allah Ta'ala the Qudr. So this is this knowledge which is being given in the Darul Ulooms. It is not just the fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu. And it is not just that you reach Bukhari Sharif and you have completed Bukhari Sharif and you are an alim. But the object is to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, in our alif say Allah. Ba'ase Bismillah. Everything is to, from the childhood already. But today, little children, they are singing all other Mary tunes, nursery rhymes, all. And parents are proud that my child can sing Humpty Dumpty set on a wall. Or Jack and Jill went, all that. All those things we are proud. Muslim children, and in good families, those things. And if you ask them about anything about deen, any dua or anything, and those who know du'as, they only know the du'as. If you ask them, they read the du'as, we don't read the du'as. We are all guilty of that. If we have to ask anyone now, the du'a after drinking water, or in your imtihan you are asked, almost everyone will know the du'a. And he'll write it down. If I have to ask now, everyone will know what is the du'a after drinking water. But forget the du'a after drinking water, everyone knows. Before drinking water, what must we read? Bismillah, but who reads? We all forget. When the time comes, almost 100% we forget. When you enter your house or your room, what should you say? Make salam. How many of us do we hear salam in our rooms? A person coming in, going out, do we hear the salam? Salam should be very common. In fact, one alim who came and visited us one time for some works, a friend of mine, we studied together also, he complained. He says, I walked around in the Darul Ulum, I didn't hear anyone making salam. So, when the Darul Ulum, and also if we go for Hajj, We go for Umrah, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. There are many even students, mashallah, who go. Just think, do you hear people making salam? Very, very seldom. If there is somebody who makes salam and you reply, then the next he tells you, I lost my passport, I lost all my money, everything, can't you help me? Salam is just left for that. Whereas salam, afshaw salam abaynakum. Make the salam common amongst, anyway, this is that knowledge which we have come for. Realize the importance and value of this knowledge. And this time that Allah has given you, see, from experience, I'm telling you as young people, today we are old people, if I had the opportunity today, now that what I know, I should have not wasted 1 minute in my studies. What you can learn now, afterwards, once you have graduated, the mind doesn't go towards learning now. Generally, there are few people, and those fortunate people who teach in a Darul Uloom, they will still carry on learning because they have to make mutala, they have to answer questions, or those people who have to make bayans, those people who write kitabs, or those people who read. But generally, if we are going to teach in a maktab or something, you're not going to make so big mutala like you make for Bukhari Sharif or you make for Baydawi Sharif mutala. You're not going to do all that. Then most cases, our knowledge gets stale. So now is the time. And what knowledge, all this knowledge, your surf, learn it thoroughly. There is no limit to how much you can learn yourself. And now you feel you're just learning, it's not helping you. All your surf, all your nahwa, the rules of nahwa. Learn the rules, memorize the rules of nahwa. The Arabic ibarat, memorize it. Know it thoroughly. And then afterwards when you learn, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala reward those few students who have learned. One student, Nurul Ida, whole Nurul Ida, he have learned of Bahad. If you don't learn the whole kitab, at least the main principles, learn them off. And use them also. So this is the time to acquire this knowledge. Now, unfortunately, we who are here, we also don't appreciate it. There are some students, mashallah, previously I noticed, and inshallah, they are still in the madrasa, we see them, that they'll come for Isha, mostly I noticed, other namazes also, and they got their kitabs with them. They put them here on the mimbar, they're all in front, and they make the sunnahs, then they busy with their kitabs again, all the time. But other students again, we don't even attend classes. Takrar time, mutala time, we don't make our mutala properly. Namaz time, when you could be learning, we are standing around in the wuzukhana, we are making a noise, disturbing other people, especially first day, last day, students who are behind the glass door, they feel they are out of the masjid, and they can talk loudly, but two people talking, another two, all that put together makes a big noise. We don't realize it. Before, when takrar time is finished now, and now you go and make wuzu for Isha, then students go out in the wuzu khana to talk. Softly they may be talking, but unfortunately that also is not soft. They talk right in front of one another. But if you see, you'll see how loudly they're talking with one another. And then what a big noise. But this is the time, really, I'm appealing to each one for yourself. Don't think for somebody else. Think for myself. Let me, if I got wudu, then your studies are more important. You have to go and make wudu, go and make wudu. But then get busy with your kitabs again. Study now. You can learn how many hadith now. And this hadith that you will learn off the heart is going to help you your whole life. And if you don't learn it, you can't know it then. So this value of this knowledge, I just wish to try and illustrate so that we can understand. One ustad told his student that one masala of knowledge, of deen, one masala of nahwa, sarf, fiqah, anything, namaz, roza, qurbani, one masala, or one ayat of the Quran is better than khayru min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. It's more better than the whole dunya and everything what is in the dunya. A student, a young boy, became very happy that, mashallah, I'm learning so many masalas. I'm becoming hafiz, one page, 5 ayats, 10 ayats, 2 pages, 20 ayats. How much I'm gaining, and wallah, this is the truth. There is no doubt about it. But one day, his sandal broke. Old sandal, poor student. So he went to the shoemaker to fix it. to have it repaired. So the shoemaker asked him, how much will you pay me to repair it? Put a few stitches, knock a few nails or whatever it was to do in there. So he said, I'll teach you one masala. What a great thing. خَيْرُ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. But that shoemaker, he took that sandal and he threw it back onto him. And he told him, go, what must I do with one masala? I want in our times here, 5 rand, 10 rand, that has got value. That one masala hasn't got. And today we also see how much we are engaged with our cell phone. In sabak, in class also. When we got any time, cell phone all the time. Today the cell phone is there. Even if we are reading a kitab, even if we reading door. In Ramzan is just passed. Many huffaz who are humbrowing door. But the cell phone is there if any message comes. The mind is there. They are reading Quran Sharif, but the mind is on the cell phone. Or even if the cell phone is in the pocket, but the mind is on that. So we don't have that. I'm trying to explain to myself the value and to you of one point of deen, how valuable it is. So then the child came back to his ustad with that sandal. He told the ustad, you told me that one masala is better than the whole world and what it contains, but I couldn't get my old sandal fixed up. Forget buying a new sandal. So the ustad understood what his problem was. So the ustad had a very, very valuable diamond, jewel, gem, very valuable. So he sent an elderly person with the student back to the shoemaker and with that diamond also. So then when the shoemaker again asked, what will you give me if I fix up your shoe? How much will you pay me? He said, I'll give you this one stone. He threw it back again at him. He said, what must I do with the stone? He doesn't know the value of it. He came back again to the ustad. The ustad sent him with that elderly person to the jeweler in the town. When he went to the jeweler and the jeweler saw the diamond, he says, nobody can pay for it. The value of it is so much, only the king has got so much money. Besides him, nobody has got so much money. So what I'm trying to show and what the story illustrates, the moral, that those who don't know the value of deen, we don't have value for it. Like the shoemaker didn't have the value of the diamond. Yes, so how can he have the value of one masala? One time, one person, wealthy person, Nawab, invited Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah to his place for meals, etc. So when he came and fetched Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one worker of he asked one question. He said, Hazrat, we see today, and this is in our minds also, that people don't respect the ulama, the huffaz, etc. Why is that? Why don't they respect them? A person who is a wealthy person, a person who got position in town, in government, people respect him. But the alim, generally, they don't show that respect. Why is that? So Maulana kept quiet. He didn't reply him. When they went to his place, one of his workers was a new worker. He spoke very rudely to the boss, to the Nawab Sahib. So Hazrat asked him, he's your worker? And he speaks so rudely to you, it doesn't show you respect. He said, he's a new worker, he doesn't know who I am. So Hazrat told him, now you got your answer. Because people don't know what is the value of ilm. And forget the people not knowing, we ourselves, we might be called ulama, we might be huffaz, but if we are with the cell phone, half is the Quran, and with all haram things on the cell phone, we haven't recognized our value. When we go out for, now all of us, we are on holiday, we just came back, many of us ask ourselves, our 5 times namaz, I'm a hafiz, I make taraweeh, but my 5 times namaz on each day, or the day after Eid, how many of us made our 5 times namaz? Our clothes changed. Hey, while we are here in the madrasa, uniform, the rule of the madrasa, we wear kurtas, but otherwise, and there are those madrasas today where there aren't these rules or they don't apply them and they are not enforced. Then we find the children in the madrasa, their dressing is also with t-shirts and with jeans. In the madrasas, they are studying like that, where they have the rule. So it mustn't be by rule, but it must be from our own side. So we must know the value of this knowledge. What a great Allah says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Can the two ever be the same? Those who know and those who don't know. Our ulama also explained another very important point from this, that one is, as far as fazilat, virtue, those who know, that is knowledge of deen. And those who haven't got knowledge of deen, the two can never be equal. And from another point, responsibility. Those who got knowledge of deen, their responsibility. And those who haven't got knowledge of deen, their responsibility, the two are not equal. Those who have got knowledge of deen, they have got a great, great responsibility. They are responsible. They must see that how their behavior is, how they in public, how they talk to people, how their character is. Because people say, he's a maulana and he's doing this. He's a hafiz and he's doing this. So, and if he's not a alim, then they don't say like that. But if he's an alim, he's got a great responsibility. So therefore, we have to see our responsibilities also. And as the virtues to explain, one other instance I will mention, Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki, Damat Barakatum, had related this to us, sitting here he told us, that there was a porter, a person who carries goods for people, passengers, takes from one place to another. In those days, on a donkey. And on his donkey, that was his mode of transport. He had one stone, a valuable diamond, hung on the donkey's head. But he didn't know, he's an old Bedouin, a villager who lives in the farm, he doesn't know the value. So a jeweler saw this diamond on a donkey, and such a valuable diamond. So he spoke to that porter, and he told him, won't you give me this stone here? So he said, no, I won't give you. If you want to, I'll sell it. So he asked how much, for example, 5 rand, he said. So he said, no, I want 10 rand. So he said, okay, I'll give you 10 rand. When he took it from there, and the diamond came into the hand of the jeweler, there is a parable for us to learn a lesson. It broke into pieces. So this jeweler told the diamond, as long as you are on the donkey's head, you are sahih salim, you are proper. And the donkey didn't know your value. A donkey, كَمَثَلْ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. What does the donkey know? What is the value of knowledge? Like putting lot of books of knowledge on a donkey. Like that, if we don't make amal, the Quran gave us that example. We got lot of knowledge, but if we don't make amal. So anyway, and now when you came in my hand and I know your value, you broke in my hand. He says, that donkey and the porter, they didn't know my value. So therefore, I stayed silent. But you who know my value and you only pay 10 rand for me, when I'm worth millions of rands, and you only pay 10, so this knowledge of ours, if we don't respect it, how are other people going to respect it? If we being an alim, our language is foul, our character is foul. For namazes we have to have roll call. For namazes we have to be called and asked that you aren't there for namaz, you are not there for namaz, your dressing was not right, and when we get off, many times we're going to wrong places, etc. So this knowledge is valuable. It's a great knowledge, and we ourselves must be the first to appreciate this knowledge and realize what great knowledge this is. Then it will have that power. Knowledge has got that power. Allahu Akbar. When Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam gave da'wah to Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, and she was coming. He told his courtiers, all who were there, jinnat also, who will bring her throne from there to me? One person said, I will bring it. Jinnats are strong, they have got lot of power. I will bring it before you stand up from your place. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, and the person who had knowledge, he said that I will bring it before the winking of your eye. The blinking of your eye, before that I will, knowledge has got, but this is that reality of knowledge. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had this reality of knowledge. They knew what is the value of this knowledge, and they had yaqeen on this knowledge. Therefore their position, they were not frightened for anyone in the world. Today, small things we get frightened for. We've got this knowledge, we are big ulama, so to say, we got titles, etc. But we are still so frightened for everyone. For everything we are frightened, for everyone we are frightened. But those who have this knowledge, they are not afraid of poverty also. We are so frightened that if I give this masala, then they will fire me. I will be thrown out. How will I look after myself, my family? If we got yaqeen on this knowledge that Allah is the provider, we won't have this fear. So may Allah bless us. Let us work for this knowledge and yaqeen and the full iman on this knowledge. May Allah bless us also, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana.